You're listening to the best travel podcast ever with Eric Hastings.
Well, you're exactly right. This is the best travel podcast ever. I am Eric Hastings. You call me Eric the Travel Guy. That's fine. That's all I do is travel. That's all I do. Somebody asked me that the other day. They're like, what do you mean? What do you do for a real job? He was like, this is it. My whole life is dedicated to helping you make the most out of your next vacation. Yeah. And now you can define that however you like, because as far as I'm concerned, travel is a very personal decision. I find the dichotomy of that actually very interesting, in that the travel is a massively wide, large, big picture kind of thing. But then it's also meaning that you can go anywhere for any reason, essentially, and yada, yada, yada. At the same time, it's ultra specific. Like, we've talked about this before on this podcast, which is, you know, ultimately, you might say, I want to go see something that only exists in one place in the world. Let's just say Niagara Falls, just to keep it here, right? So, that's it, Niagara Falls. And now, there are other waterfalls in the world, but you say, I want to see Niagara Falls. Okay, well, because I want to feel the rush of that water. I want to go on the Maid of the Mist. I want to feel that water, you know. I want to be in there, right? Well, okay. Now you took the entire world and you made it incredibly specific, meaning you're going to need to decide when you're going to go. Those are very specific dates. You can't just say, sometime. Right? You're going to have to tell your boss you're taking off time from work. Which days are you going to go and why? Whom are you going to go with? Where are you going to stay? How are you going to get there? It is a myriad of details. Speaking of ultra specific, this portion of the best travel podcast ever is being brought to you by Summer's Evening Hand Detoxifier. Haven't your hands had enough of this pandemic? Finally, organic detoxifying relief for your hands in a convenient non-toxic spray, lotion, or gel, perfect for the casual airplane passenger. Summer's Evening Hand Detoxifier can be used on your hands, feet, face, teeth and gums, armrest, tray table, seatbelt, or seatmate. Visit handdetox.com today and receive 10% off your first order if you mention Eric the Travel Guy. What a great sponsor. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I appreciate that almost as much as I appreciate my buddy Vance from Carnival Cruise Line, who is here. They've got some new news that they broke earlier this morning, so we wanted to get him on the program. Vance, it's always good to talk to you, my friend. And I haven't seen you in a while, which kind of, you know, breaks my heart a little bit.
Same here. You know, it's been a long 15, 16 months, but we're looking forward to getting back on the water soon.
Well, and here I'm looking at these headlines, and here's what I like. It's not as though you guys made the decision to have these new ships overnight. We're in the middle of a health crisis in a pandemic, and you guys said, we're doubling down. we're building new ships. We're going to resume. This is going to end. Is that about right? You guys, what's going on? We're going to have two new ships now? Is that right?
Yeah, we just announced this morning that we're going to be getting two additional ships from some of our sister companies, and one of which is an XL class ship, which is powered by liquefied natural gas, which is very eco-friendly, and it's going to have all the bells and whistles of the new Mardi Gras that's coming out, including the Bolt roller coaster, which is a really talked about feature that everyone's looking forward to.
I was going to say, didn't Mardi Gras arrive in Miami a couple of weeks ago? Is that about right?
It arrived in Port Canaveral June 4th. I was there. 1,500 people showed up at 6 in the morning to see the ship come in. So it was very, very exciting. And it was very emotional. I'm not going to lie. There's longtime Carnival employees who have, you know, been waiting for this moment for a long, long time. And it was just fantastic to be around the ship and be around the crew members. And it was just a great day all around.
It's so easy for us today, all of us, even those of us who love cruising, of course, to look at the cruise industry through a lens of the coronavirus. And when you do, it's kind of unpleasant, you know, or it's certainly, I think the worst is behind us. But what's interesting here, and what you just said, Vance, is something that I think is really, really important, which is these ships are modern marvels. They're really spectacular. And those of us that have sailed on them know this, especially when you get up close. Isn't that true?
Oh, that's most definitely true. I remember the documentary we did with you where you went through all the areas of the ship and just saw some of the technology that is on board, and it's only getting better and better and better. So yes, you know, the cruise industry has really evolved over the last 10-15 years. I've been at Carnival 27 years, and it's like, it's hard to believe that some of the, what we're doing on some of these ships these days, between a bike ride in the sky to now a roller coaster to these massive water parks, and it's just really a great way to take a vacation for your whole family.
Well, thank you for referencing the episode of Beyond Your Backyard. And yes, we did go on board and spend a day in the life with one of your captains, who was phenomenal. And it really was a special episode to me. And hopefully, you know, the email that we get about that episode and the comments are, oh my gosh, we can't wait to go cruising for the first time because we watched this episode. So thanks for bringing that up. But at the same time, what's really interesting to me is that the cruise industry, you know, it's a big industry, and it's not exactly easy to pivot, per se. And it's also an industry that requires a tremendous amount of cooperation, both from the government side. We don't really think about the notion of, like, a cruise ship, a modern-day cruise ship, can't just pull up to a place. You know, they can't just depart from a place. All of this infrastructure has to be built, has to be thought out, has to really work well together. And so this pandemic, and I keep bringing it up, why? Because, you know, this is where we are. And where we're going is going to be a really special place, don't you think, once we get through this?
Oh, for sure. You know, we're developing new protocols on board and, you know, different ways to make sure that everybody stays safe. While at the same time, you know, providing, you know, a vacation that people really, really are clamoring to take. You know, the excitement and demand for the cruise industry is still very, very high. We have some of the most loyal guests around, as you know.
Yep.
But, you know, we're working very hard. I mean, you know, safety is our number one concern, and we want to make sure that people, you know, take our cruises and have a great time, but at the same time, stay safe.
Yeah, and that's true for any vacation. Any, you know, it's so funny to me that occasionally, not all the time, but I mean, it's good and bad, and that occasionally the cruise industry gets singled out as some sort of, you know, when we're tired of complaining about the airlines, then we direct our complaints to the cruise industry from time to time, certainly in mass media. But the reality of it is there's a reason that the industry is so vast and so successful, because the industry itself has figured out how to do it correctly and how to do it the safest and how to do it the best. That's why people keep coming back on board these ships, wouldn't you say?
Oh, that's definitely for sure. And I mean, that's, you know, it's what we do, you know, every day, all day, 365 days a year, we have people working on, you know, making sure you have a great time, but also making sure the ships are as safe as they can be. And, you know, we're very proud of our reputation for everything that we've done here at Carnival.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, too, it's funny because occasionally, and I'm sure you're not going to say a word about this, which is just fine by me, but I certainly read the same headlines every now and again, although they've kind of quieted down, about the relationship between the cruise industry and the state of Florida, and the cruise industry and the state will figure out a way to coexist in the future. Of course, that's going to happen. But at the same time, I'm not even sure people are aware that you can take a cruise from other ports of call around the world in addition to the state of Florida. I mean, again, once people start to look into cruising, they realize, wow, this is a vacation that is really designed with me in mind.
Well, with Carnival, we sail from 14 different U.S. home ports.
Yeah.
So we like to say, you know, half the population is within a day's drive of one of our ports. So, you know, if you live in, you know, the coastal areas or even a little bit farther inland, you can sail from Baltimore and Charleston and Mobile and New Orleans and Galveston and Tampa, all the way to the West Coast, to, you know, Long Beach and Seattle. And so we're really trying to find a way to make the cruise even more affordable since you don't have to worry about an airline ticket. You know, you got a family of four, that's four airline tickets. You got to get to the airport. So you just pack the car up and drive to your cruise.
Well, and I'm sure, you know, look, you're my friend. You and I, we are friends, and I certainly am friendly to the cruise industry because I believe in it even through this pandemic. I mean, we're just waiting patiently. That's all we're doing. It's just waiting. And my only concern was that a massive company like Carnival was going to go out of business if this went on much longer. And, of course, we didn't go through that, which is terrific. But the reality of it is, on board, Vance, is cruising going to be different on board?
I mean, certainly it's going to be different. There's going to be different protocols. There's going to be, you know, increased sanitation and, you know, additional, you know, disinfection procedures, of course.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, it's a cruise, and we want it to be fun, and we want people to have a good time. So,
yeah.
You know, we're trying to, you know, strike that balance and make sure that we still, you know, provide people with a vacation that they have been really, really waiting for. So we want to make sure that we do everything possible to, you know, ensure a safe environment, but at the same time, a fun environment.
Perfect. I couldn't have said it better myself. How about that? No, I appreciate that because, again, the temptation here is to say, oh, gee, I don't want to go on a cruise. I've never been on a cruise. I'm certainly not going on one now. That's the first temptation. But even folks that have been on a cruise and maybe they haven't been in a while, it's going to be okay. You know, we'll figure this out is the message here.
Oh, for sure. And I mean, I know that, you know, our crew are waiting for our guests to get on board. Yeah, we've been operating at these, what we call safe minimum operational manning, which means we have 125 people on board because a cruise ship is not like an airplane where you can just go park it in the desert and shut it down. You have to keep the engines running.
Right.
So in order to keep the engines running, you need engineers and you need technicians. And those technicians need to, you know, eat and they need somewhere to stay and, you know, activities.
Right.
And so you have what we call a, you know, a skeletal staff of like 125 people. And, you know, I've been on the ships and it's kind of a eerie, surreal feeling. So now that we're ramping up with more crew members, it really is starting to feel more like a cruise. And, you know, it's, you know, that, and that's what the crew does. You know, there's a buzz to the ship, you know, when you're on it. And when you have 125 people, you know, just
that's
manning the engine. That's a quiet cruise.
That's a quiet buzz right there.
Yeah, exactly.
And I certainly don't mean to ask a question that you can't possibly answer on behalf of the entire industry. Is cruising going to be cheaper? What can we look forward to in the future? Like, I don't think people are aware you can book a Carnival cruise right now if you want to, correct?
Yeah, we're selling cruises through 2024. So, yeah I mean, I can't really comment on whether it's going to be cheaper or less, you know, or more expensive because I haven't really looked at it that closely. But, you know, if you get with your travel agent, it's already a good value. So no matter what you pay, you're getting a great value.
Right.
You know, we're selling cruises and people have been booking. You know, people continue to book cruises even despite they get canceled and they'll just go ahead and book again. These sailing dates that we have coming up for like July 3rd in Galveston. I mean, people are ready. You know, when we brought the ship into Galveston, there were 1,000 people lining the pier just watching the ship.
Oh, my gosh.
They couldn't even get on, you know. So people love cruising. You know, there's that core element of Carnival that our people are just extremely loyal. And, you know, they just can't wait to get back on board. If you follow the Facebook page of our cruise director, John Heald, you know, he has 350,000 followers. And all they do is talk cruising all day, every day.
Right. So. Well, and again, for you to say there's going to be protocols and this is not going to be any different than if we decided to do an interview with Sandals next week. You know, Sandals are going to say the same thing. They're going to say, yeah, of course. This is what we want to do this, right? We have to, but we want to because we want to keep our guests safe. Hello. But my point is the cruise ship isn't going to do anything quote unquote different. Other than however they were different to begin with in terms of – I don't think people realize how sanitized those ships were to begin with.
Oh, for sure. I mean, we clean the ships, you know, 24/7. And, you know, we've been operating safely in Europe. You know, they carried 500,000 people in Europe, you know, even before this. So then the cruise industry is really the only industry that's been shut down entirely. I mean, you know, you can go to Disney, and you can go to other theme parks, and you go everywhere. But, you know, so, but the cruise industry, you know, is looking forward to getting back on the water and really getting back to what they do best.
That's something that I always hear when people come back, especially first timers that come back. They always come back and they say the same, you know, they'll talk about what they liked, and, you know, oh, maybe they'll have their minor complaint, whatever, but they'll come back, they'll say what they like. But they always say, basically, they'll say, and our room steward, our cabin attendant was so amazing, right? And then I'll say something like, why do you say that? Well, they're so busy. They're always cleaning. Oh my,
you want to take them home with you, you know?
You do. And then that kind of leads usually to a larger discussion of like, oh my gosh, everywhere we turned, someone somewhere was, you know, doing a little vacuuming, some dusting, some wiping something down. It's this entire army of keeping that place safe. It's important.
Well, I'll tell you a funny story. One time we were in the tube in London with me and my boss, and this person comes up to my boss in the middle of the tube, and he says, Miller Lite. And that's what my boss would drink. And he was a former Carnival bartender who hadn't bartended in 10 years, but he recognized him and still remembered what he liked to drink.
Oh, my gosh.
So. That's the funniest thing in the world. So.
A decade later. Oh, you know, I really do think that's you want to talk about service. I mean, we don't have the time. We have to go, I know. But, I mean, I'm happy about these two new ships. But, I mean, we talk about service on board. I think it's such a great study in, you know, Carnival and the entire industry. But, I mean, they really do spend time talking about what quality service means and how to replicate that and how to make that special and not go, you know, lose your mind at the same time. I mean, these are hard contracts. I mean, they're well-paid people, but they're also, it's not easy to be on board a ship for 8 weeks at a time or 6 months at a time or a year and a half at a time and be away from your family. But the crew really does an amazing job with that.
Oh, you know, when we shut down, we had to repatriate 30,000 crew members back to their home countries. And that turned out to be, you know, quite a challenge, given, you know, the border restriction. So we ended up just taking our ship and putting a ship full of to India, a ship to the Philippines, a ship to Europe. So now we're doing the same thing, but in reverse. We're bringing back all those crew members who are really eager and ready to get back to work and, you know, and serve our guests. And that's what they, you know, that's what they do. You know, they take hospitality very, very seriously. And it's something that's, you know, part of what they do. And, you know, we're really looking forward to welcoming, you know, our guests back. And we're doing it gradually. We're not like just flipping a switch and bringing the whole fleet online. We're starting with July 3rd in Galveston, and then we're going to do July 4th in Miami, and then we're going to do some Alaska cruises, and then the Mardi Gras to Port Canaveral on July 31st. So then we've been, you know, we're just slowly but surely bringing our ships online, and, you know, that's the most important thing.
I'm thinking about buying the Queen Mary to make sure it doesn't sink. Any piece of advice you'd like to share before we go?
Well, that would be great. You know, that's it's a beautiful ship, and it's right next to our Long Beach Cruise Terminal, which is, you know, the old Howard Hughes geodesic dome. That three times fast. So, right. I would say go for it.
All right, very good. Vance, thanks for doing this today, my friend.
All right, it was great. Thanks.
Incidentally, if you are liking what you are hearing, it is very important that you rate us, that you subscribe to the podcast, that you listen to us, that you share it, you leave us a comment, wherever on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever it is you may be listening to us. If you are watching on YouTube, thank you very much for doing that as well. Please feel free to leave a comment, subscribe. It does help us, by the way. Everything we do, it's on ericthetravelguide.com. Thank you very much for being here. Thank you, Vance, for your time today, and we will continue this discussion because it is, in fact, the best travel podcast ever. Enjoy your day. Thanks for being here. Take it away, Christina.
You've been listening to the best travel podcast ever with Eric Hastings. Don't worry, we will return again.